17. His legs betrayed him, and he fell to his knees. He was vaguely aware that he was weeping, even more vaguely aware that he had wet his pants a little. He crawled forward on his knees and reached toward the key lying in the snarl of burdocks. Its simple shape was one he seemed to have seen in his dreams. He thought, the little S-shape at the end, that's the secret. As he closed his hand around the key, the voices rose in a harmonic shout of triumph. Jake's own cry was lost in the voice of that choir. He saw the key flash white within his fingers and felt a tremendous jolt of power run up his arm. It was as if he had grasped a live high-tension wire, but there was no pain. He opened Charlie the Choo-Choo and put the key inside. Then his eyes fixed upon the rose again, and he realized that it was the real key, the key to everything. He crawled toward it, his face a flaming corona of light, his eyes blazing wells of blue fire. The rose was growing from a clump of alien purple grass. As Jake neared this clump of alien grass, the rose began to open before his eyes. It disclosed a dark scarlet furnace, petal upon secret petal, each burning with its own secret fury. He had never seen anything so intensely and utterly alive in his whole life. And now, as he stretched one grimy hand out toward this wonder, the voices began to sing his own name, and deadly fear began to steal in toward the center of his heart. It was as cold as ice and as heavy as stone. There was something wrong. He could feel a pulsing discord, like a deep and ugly scratch across some priceless work of art, or a deadly fever smoldering beneath the chilly skin of an invalid's brow. It was something like a worm, an invading worm, and a shape, one which lurks just beyond the next turn of the road. Then the heart of the rose opened for him, exposing a yellow dazzle of light, and all thought was swept away on a wave of wonder. Jake thought for a moment that what he was seeing was only pollen, which had been invested with the supernatural glow which lived at the heart of every object in this deserted clearing. He thought it even though he had never heard of pollen within a rose. He leaned closer and saw that the concentrated circle of blazing yellow was not pollen at all. It was a sun, a vast forge burning at the center of this rose growing in the purple grass. The fear returned, only now it had become outright terror. It's right, he thought, everything here is right, but it could go wrong, has started going wrong already, I think. I'm being allowed to feel as much of that wrongness as I can bear. But what is it? And what can I do? It was something like a worm. He could feel it beating like a sick and dirty heart, warring with the serene beauty of the rose, screaming harsh profanities against the choir of voices which had so soothed and lifted him. He leaned closer to the rose and saw that its core was not just one sun, but many, perhaps all suns, contained within a ferocious yet fragile shell. But it's wrong. It's all in danger. Knowing it would almost surely mean his death to touch that glowing microcosm, but helpless to stop himself, Jake reached forward. There was no curiosity or terror in this gesture, only a great, inarticulate need to protect the rose.